Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Yeah. Oh, you're growling and I'm dancing. How about now?
How about now? We live yet. Poor Danny behind the scenes just to let everyone out. Although, are we live yet? How about now?
Yeah.
I've been doing that for like the last 5 minutes. It's been fantastic.
That's the game. That's the game I play with Kai in the car. It's like, are we home yet? No. Are we home yet? No. We have our little song.
That was the first sip of today's cup of tea. I crawled out of bed way too late. I slept like a freaking log.
I'm jelly. I don't know what sleep is like ever since I've had my beautiful daughter, who likes to wake me up and say, Mommy, you said you would be with me forever.
Tranquilize the darts. I'm just going to say that. That's all it's up.
For me.
Child protection tend to get upset if you start tranquilizing the kids, I suppose, don't they? They still get a little uppity on those things.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. We are live on What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. I am your co-host, Danny Wolf.
I am the willing cohort, Chris Roberts.
Now, we are back remotely, which I don't like, but what can we do? We got to get more lives in. Seriously.
It was fantastic last week. It was. Yeah. It wasn't, because it was Vegas lunacy.
Yeah.
And any bloody city keeps building at the rate it does and decides to tear up not just its main corridor, i.e. the Las Vegas Strip, but also the streets behind it at the same time to build a bloody Formula One track. Don't get me wrong, I love Formula One, but at this point in time, I could burn Formula One and sit and roast marshmallows over it, given all of the shit show last week that they managed to cause. So yeah, not the smartest move on the on the planning stage, boys. Well done.
It was a good time though. Let's do light reflections, shall we?
Yeah, I like the idea.
All right. What was your high level thoughts of the week? What was good? What could have been done better?
So I think I'm gonna actually start with what could have been done better. And this is something I haven't done much on yet. Actually, somebody just said it was about the $100 post. We're gonna talk about that today. Mm-hmm. I think when you look back at the history of DEF CON, Black Hat, B-Sides, and everything else, there was a lot of, shall we say, an antagonistical relationship to some degree between them all. But the challenge is now so many of us are going to Black Hat, or at least making an appearance around Black Hat, even if we don't visit the main trade floor, are going there and then realizing that we have to get to the Tuscany for B-Sides. And then, like, in the middle of all the shenanigans, everything's going crazy for Black Hat, for DEF CON as well. And then you've got all the side conferences, like Friday, Saturday, it was all the Shabbat CON as well. So hanging out with Spam and a bunch of the crew out there. And then you've got the Tinkerers. So, I mean, you've got a couple hundred of us in town. We all want to kind of gather up. So on one side, it's fantastic. But on the other side, it's a logistical nightmare for a week and change, because rather than having the conferences either one after another or in the similar freaking spaces, you've got them spread out. So you're bouncing up and down the strip. Even if you're an asshole like me that's like, hey, I'm not going to go to 10 different hotels, I ended up going to 10 different hotels.
I'm guilty for one of those.
No, and I think that's it. It's, you know, and it's a challenge, you know, because you were up at the other end of town. I mean, think about it. We were at, Mandalay and Delano down here. And then you're up at Palooza and Venetia, neck of the woods, the other end of flipping town. And then I hung out with the Major League Baseball folks for a bit. And they were even further up there at the one that's got the beach, for crying out loud. And so you're doing this two or three times a day. And for me, I drive. Now, you get a lift, it would probably be the same. But I mean, that's $35 of valet fees every single time you stop somewhere for an hour or two's worth of meetings. And yes, you can get off park, but now I've got to leave an extra half hour to faff around with that shenanigans. So it's coordination during that week is a nightmare. I got to the point, I think it was Thursday, and I'm like, I need a break. I did a bunch of stuff Thursday morning. It got to early afternoon. I'm like, I got to get out of here. And I actually went back to the house because I just don't stay on the strip. Went back to the house and I hunkered down. I'm like, I need a break. I still went out with Cecil's thing Thursday. I want to say it was Thursday evening.
Was that a bar with starts with?
Oh yeah, hang on. Let me bring up the location because that.
Yeah, because I was like, I didn't know if that was Cecil's thing. I didn't see Cecil on the front.
It was
a couple other
black,
folks.
It was the black. It was Cecil XC. It was Super Frisco.
Oh okay, all right.
So that's over in.
Is it Cosmo?
Cosmo, thank you. Save me. Cosmo three times. That was over in the Cosmo because I was over there for Forge Points dinner as well, lunchy thing as well. Right. Yeah, if you ever get a chance, Super Frisco is fantastic. Absolutely amazing dining experience. Food was pretty damn good, and just watching everybody drift and shift through all the entertainment stuff. So yeah, I think it was okay. So somebody made a really good observation. It was a post that I was reading. Somebody else's post I was reading. And they were lamenting on the fact that, you know, everybody goes to DEF CON and nobody talks about the vendors or the talks, or everybody talks about meeting up friends, family, and colleagues and the dinners, but nobody talks about the vendors and what they learned there. And I'm like, you're probably very, very true, because I remember more about the people than I do about, you know, going to, I mean, I had lots and lots of amazing conversations. You put a number of us in front of a number of very, very good vendors, and, you know, we did, which is taken to pieces and helped to rebuild them. But the actual like talks were few and far between.
Yeah. I mean, echoing on what you said about, you know, a little bit of a disconnect, going against each other space. I didn't get to see as many folks as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
RSA, I mean, it was in one central location. So I met a lot of people.
Yes.
I didn't meet half the people that I wanted to meet or see or catch up with, which was really a bummer for me. I'm like, I just don't have enough time. You know, we were 2 days doing audience first programs over on the Palazzo, over the other side. Was that the north side? North side. And then just getting down south, it was Thursday. I was there for 3 hours only. It was just not enough time. And another thing that kind of frustrates me a little bit, and what I thought was a little bit intriguing to me, was that competition between the different organizations spinning up events for practitioners and vendors alike. I mean, even me, you know, I ruffled a few feathers over on the Black Hat side because I ran a CISO unconference discussion. They didn't like that. No, I'm like, why don't you like that? I mean, why can't we all? I mean, it was no way competition.
Yeah.
Why can't we all get along? It was in no way competition. Just the fact
it wasn't
that
at their venue and you were taking people away from.
I'm just like, seriously. I mean, no,
I almost got myself ejected from DEF CON.
Yeah.
For bringing alcohol in, for crying out. I mean, like, seriously, it's DEF CON. I mean, we're at what, year 30 something odd. We're at DEF CON. Right. I know it's a sign of the times. Mm. I think this is where it gets interesting. It's a sign of the times, but it's a sign of unfortunately the growth side of it. In other words, we went from Alexis Place, where they really didn't bat an eyelid if you walk in with sheep, for crying out loud. That's a long story for another day. We'll leave that for the annals of history. You walk in with sheep and they're like, yeah. You walk in with alcohol and they're like, great, we don't have to supply you with everything. Whereas for the last several years and this year, I mean, I ran out of hell of it. I feel bad for the poor goons because, I mean, I know so many of them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do the damn thing. This year, I'm sitting there and they get dragged along because the hotel we were in, as well as law enforcement, local law enforcement, were involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. We've got a hacker conference that is now getting uppity about the fact, because I rolled up into the aerospace village. Mm-hmm. And I did what I normally do. I didn't actually bring the case with me. Good luck, because they probably would have bloody arrested me and I'd still be running away in a jail, for God's sakes. I brought like 3 or 4 bottles to share with the aerospace village. First time back in the aerospace village. First time back in that neck of the woods. I wanted to say thank you. So I rocked up a few bottles. In the morning, I'd open them up. shared them and everybody had fun. In the afternoon, mm-hmm. I did the same thing before the talk, and literally they wanted the bottles and me escorted off of their property. And I'm like, it's a fucking hacker conference. Are you seriously telling me I can't crack a bottle open to say thank you? And Caesars Forums was all pissy about it. Law enforcement was doing what law enforcement did at the behest of Caesars Forum. I'm like, yeah, this has gotten a little too much now. I'm not good.
Look, I can recognize that everyone's trying to run a business. We talk about this all the time. But let's focus on, you know, where did mission get lost? You know what I mean? Like, where did community get lost? I'm referring to the B-sides, the Shabbat Khan, the Black Hats, all the Def Con. You know, at one point, can we just come together and collaborate and all benefit from that collaboration? And stop bringing down some of the smaller, you know, the smaller businesses who are trying to do some good. I know there was a little bit of controversy with some of the villages as well.
That's the other problem I've got with it. There were some amazing villages that, don't get me wrong. They were a lot of them were very, very similar in nature, shall we say. But there was a lot of villages missing. And I think a lot of what I would call key villages that would build up diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so when you look at it that way, you're like, hey, what the heck happened? You know, where did we lose the plot on this one?
Yeah.
So we need to take over the Tuscany after B-Sides is done with it, if there's anything left of it, and just start up Village Con at this point in time, I swear.
I feel like, Chris, we should like create a village, like, I don't know, like
village, yeah.
Or like hug a tree village. I don't know, something like something like, let's all kumbaya together. You know,
singing kumbaya. I'd be singing it with a fucking like taser strapped to the back. It'd be Bruce Willis special. Sing kumbaya or your ass is getting 50,000.
No, but I think there's definitely a lot to improve upon, and you know, hopefully next year. Maybe we can affect some change for next year. I don't know. Something to think about.
Yeah, I think it's a balance. I mean, because having seen how the inside of the conference works a number of times, I feel a level of empathy, because you got a list this long and you got to select that many. And it's tough. It's absolutely ridiculously tough. And how do you do it and continue to change things around? And the problem is we keep outgrowing it. I mean, let's face it, when I first freaking started, we were over at Alexis, and we moved from there. We've like every X number of years we move because we outgrow the stupid thing. Well, guess what? We've outgrown Caesars, maybe size-wise, but definitely policy-wise. I mean, for fuck's sakes, let's go just rent a bloody field. You know, there's no fields in Las Vegas, is there? Let's go rent half a mountain site, for crying out loud.
Well, according to you, there are a lot of dried-out lakes with dead bodies. We could do it there.
That is true. There, I am a little concerned by the fact that they keep drying out lakes. It's like, be sure your sins will find you. At the back of my mind, I'm like, will they ever find that fucking sales vendor that kept on trying to sell shit to me?
Jesus. Okay. I love it. Good high-level thoughts. What are the – did we talk about the good things? I don't know. Did we talk about positives at the show? I think overall, just good to see people. New innovation.
It was good to see people. It was fantastic to catch up with a number of folks about some really interesting projects that they wanted to talk with me about. So I had a couple of really good conversations with some people about some actually rather really interesting, like, future looking projects. So I think innovation was there, but I think it was in cells, shall we say, if one better way of putting it. I mean, just walking through the villages was actually fantastic. Yeah, I mean, honestly, highlights for me was being able to walk through the aerospace village and and having some very, very good conversations. Again, I will hold those cards close to the chest, but let's just say, I'm not sure if the hatchet has been buried, but at least it's been recognized, and there's been some good conversations with some folks. The village itself is fantastic, but there are some folks inside the village with whom first conversations were had in a long, long time, and they were very positive. So that was really, really, really freaking nice. So there's my highlights.
Love it. Yeah. Before we go into the juicy stuff, I think, you know, just walking around the expo, a lot of people were giving great feedback about our show. which was really, really exciting. Oh,
yeah. That was huge. Shout out to everybody that was like, oh my gosh, I watched the show and I see this and I'm seeing. There was somebody out that hit this up and said, somebody that hit you or I up, I think, and said basically that's all they watch. I'm like, I love you. Yeah. Thank you.
And what's great to hear, I mean, thank goodness, we're almost 30 episodes in. So we should do like what we learned after 30 episodes of reading spam inboxes. But some folks were saying, yeah, we listen to this show as an onboarding tool for new employees. That's cool.
Good grief. Well, I mean, like that leads us into this shenanigans, the two Muppets that apparently haven't been listening to the show. So if your company is represented by an animal that would typically live in the Arctic or Antarctic, and it might have something to do with rhymes with box, then y'all might want to damn pin your ears back and listen for a second. And by the way, the other one, Deanna, we need to have a conversation. Which one do you want to do first? Well, do we want to do $100 gift cards first, or do we want to do your ass is going to be on the front page of the New York Times? Which one would you like to do first?
Oh, I like New York Times.
All right, I'm going to read this one. So you're sitting there as a CISO or as a senior leader in your organization, and your inbox goes bing, and you get this. Hi, Chris. The first questions every VP will ask if the New York Times writes a hit piece on Boom Supersonic claiming your safety standards slipped because of improper use of AI in your engineering cycle. How is the model trained? How much of the model is based on real data, not synthetic data? Who owns the data? How often is the model updated? Are you able to answer these questions? Proper AI governance not only reduces risk, but speeds up time to market because everyone is using trusted data. Big asterisks on that one. If you can't answer the above questions about Zoom Supersonic's AI model, then let's connect soon to start 2024 on the right foot. Deanna. I almost fucking exploded at this one. I went off the edge on this one. I sent it. In fact, I responded back. I was civil. I think I was relatively civilized in my response back. But I really wanted to call them on this one, out on this one. It was absolute bullshit. I haven't heard back from this particular company either.
Okay, so let's break it down. Yeah. Why were you so triggered?
I was triggered because I think for a bunch of different reasons. Again, let's start with the easy one, assumptions. So you've made an arsehole out of yourself on this particular one, but you try making an arsehole out of me. So there's an assumption, as simple as I can put it, that I'm not even focused on AI. How I could bloody miss it with every single one of you buggers out there actually telling me that I need to focus on AI and how ChatGPT is both going to save and doom the world, I don't fucking know. Oh, by the way, I've also given talks on AI if you took the 5 fucking seconds to figure that shit out. That one's aside. That was minor trigger. Major trigger for me was the New York Times thing. So This is, to me, a threat. This is, I don't even look at it as ambulance chasing. I don't look at it as worst case scenario. I'm trying to think of the best way of describing it. This was, to me, this is threatening. I view this as threat. And I do not take kindly to somebody trying to throw a threat away and go, well, you know, when you get breached, you'll be on the front page of the New York Times. How accountable will you be? And I'm like, fuck you. Presumptuous and insulting. Yeah, I don't know the best way of putting it. What have you got for a wording on this one? It's the core protect. It's like the core protect nature in me just is absolutely just insulted.
Yeah, it did read funny, insulting your intelligence a little bit.
It wasn't a little lot. I didn't even take it. I took it somewhat personally, but you're now going after my company, and for all of my challenges and issues on the Boom side of things and driving me nuts in some ways, it's my company. I'm still the CISO there. I am still going to protect the hell out of that company. You've just threatened my company, as far as I'm concerned. By basically saying, you know, there we go, confrontational, confront threats. Mm. I mean, it's a It's all the wrong emotions. I think this is where it gets interesting. You know, when you start looking at humans, you have that fight, flight, freeze. I know there's others, but for me, it's fight, flight, and freeze. It's typically fight and flight, lest you spurt it. With most people, I guess the logic on this one is, oh, I'll put them into a flight mode and then they'll come to me. Mm-hmm. This with me, I see this and I go straight into fight mode. I go straight into fight mode. I really want to attack back. Mm-hmm. But the problem is then I engage. And I mean, I engaged briefly. I need to find that one. I want to find out what I said. Do you have my, because I think I copied you on my response.
Yeah. I have the response here from 2 days ago.
Just looking at it. There we go. Wow. Yeah, there we go. I didn't actually say too much. I said, wow, just something that I think we need to talk about in the podcast and likely to end up in another LinkedIn post. How to use FUD to sell, fear, uncertainty, and doubt to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's maybe part of it. I think it's, you know, it's reputational. I think that's the other part of it. It's calling Boom's reputation into question.
Yeah.
And again, so there's a huge protect that I go into straight protect mode at that point in time.
Right. So,
you know, you can do so much damage with one sentence. And I mean, this is one of those, go for it.
I just think it's fascinating because I feel like a lot of sales and marketing folks, even founders, VCs, I mean, hell, even the practitioner side, don't take it into consideration the emotional factor and the emotions of the job, right?
Somebody just put it perfectly, and I only see it as LinkedIn user. You fucking
George, spot on. Probably.
Perfect. It's like the old school extortion rackets. Wouldn't it be a shame if George. Something happened to your business? Whoever the heck that is.
That's George.
George.
Comedy.
Perfect. That's what I needed. That's what I was going with. Yeah. Thank you, George. Yeah, that's perfect. It literally is like walking into the company and going, you know, things are looking a little dry around here. You know, it'd be such a shame if there was a bit of a fire in here and stuff like that. I mean, that's basically what that's saying. And I think that to me is, I have a huge issue with this. Can we name the company in this case, or are we not naming the company? Do you want to try to be nice about them? I sent this to one of their senior leaders, and I've heard fuck all back from them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it, worse comes to worse.
We can hold off. Those tactics are...
Don't work.
They don't work. Not only do they not work, I think they're just terrible. You know.
Okay, so you have... I agree. I mean, you have... So. Again, I talk about the emotional factor. You're under a lot of stress. There's a lot of high tension. We got to start taking into consideration the emotional side of buyers, right? The emotional side of the practitioner.
Yeah.
But let's flip it now, because we talked about what didn't work.
Yeah.
Let's put Deanna into a scenario, right? Yeah. 2024 is coming out. We're in the end of Q3, almost end of Q3.
Yeah.
You're figuring things out. You're potentially evaluating solutions for 2024's budget.
Yep.
We talked about this a few episodes ago, but let's bring it up again, kind of the right way to approach you as we approach 2024. And I'm going to throw into that, how would one pitch through cold outreach AI?
I think you make fun of the situation. I think you make light of it. I was actually, as you were asking the question, I was thinking about this. You make light of this. So, I mean, you could almost, you know, hey, Chris, the first question every VP is going to probably ask and everybody inside your organization is going to ask is, what the heck are you doing with AI? You are probably sitting there with 10 different things in your hands. Each one of them is trying to actually attack you from an AI perspective. We would love to help untangle that mess. We got some really cool stuff. We got some really cool people. We think we figured this shit out. Would love to just spend 10 minutes talking with you to get on the radar for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much more lighthearted, hey, we recognize that there's a challenge. We recognize our own industry is trying to throw 20 different things at you. We have spent a bunch of time figuring some of this out. We figure we've wrangled it all down. And if there's chance, we'd love to have a conversation. I mean, I will give this one some credit. So to break Deanna's down, if you look at Let's Connect Soon and Start on 2024, to some degree, that's actually not too bad. That's not like, hey, I need 15 minutes in the next week. So I actually appreciate the fact that like, hey, let's connect soon to talk about 24. So I appreciate the fact that it's forward looking on this email. So it's not all bad. It's, hey, let's talk in 2024. And there we go. Yeah, let's, the offer is to educate. So I think it's one of those where you approach it differently. It's like, hey, Chris, you're probably swamped in internal requests on what are you doing in AI, board requests on what are you doing in AI, and 25 different vendors saying, hey, we've got an AI solution for you. We sit above all of this and we help you understand an AI strategy. We would love to sit down and spend some time talking with you in 20, so that, so as you hit 2024, you're prepared, you can sift the wood from the trees, all that kind of, you know, so we'll come kind of use them as another stage. You said, hey, we're here to help you.
Yeah.
We are here to help you understand the data, to help you understand the model. Hey, you've probably solved a bunch of the problems. We've been looking at the industry holistically. Here's what we're seeing. If the two match up, fantastic. You're kicking ass. If there's discrepancies, we'd love to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
I think that's a better way. You know, it's recognize the fact that you probably already understand that. Give me some fucking credit for the fact I might have my finger on some of the pulse. Hey, Chris, again, hey, Chris, we recognize you've probably got your finger on the pulse when it comes to AI. We've got our eyes on the entire industry. We would love to collaborate, see what you're seeing, understand maybe if there's a delta between what you see and what we see. And if we can help fill in the gaps in 2024, we would love to.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully, beautifully said. Yeah.
You know, and it's as simple as that, you know, and that it's recognized the fact that it's give credit to the person on the other end of the keyboard that they might actually know what the hell that some of what the hell they're doing.
Right.
Give some insight into why I should even read past the first sentence in this email and then take a step back and go, look, if and when you get time, we'd love to have a conversation. To give Deanna some credit, this email was short enough that I actually read it, which is probably both good and bad.
I thought it was, by the way, I thought like if you look at it without actually reading it, structured well too.
Yeah, absolutely. The four bullet points are a really nice way of doing it. Again, my problem is with it. There's an assumption on those four bullet points that I haven't already figured. Here's the thing. If I hadn't spent a bunch of fucking time talking to our industry about what to do about AI, I mean, I've put, you know, the thing that pisses me off about this. Do you remember we did the 10 things to tell your audience about if they haven't done it? I have an AI and four of those bullet points are in my like 10 things to think about when you're looking at an AI model. Wouldn't surprise me if they stole the fucking stuff from me in the first place.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, that was actually quite a while ago. Actually, it's not on this computer. It's on this computer. Yeah, I put that whole 10 things to think about and all that stuff. 10 questions. There we go.
That was what we did on Dr. Dark Web.
Correct.
Is that what you're referring
remember
to?
Remember that?
I remember Dr. Dark Web.
10-ish questions. There you go. 10-ish questions to ask yourself about talking about AI and ML. Yeah, I mean, it's there. There you go. Top 20. Yeah, so it's there.
Yeah. We should rehash that up, that episode up. I find it somewhere. I don't know where it is.
You don't even have to do that. I've got the bloody thing. It's 10 plus or minus a few questions to ask yourself and anyone talking AI or ML. So this, you know, even something like this, sending something like this going out, saying, hey, look, here's 10 or 15 things that we typically see with AI or ML models. If you recognize a bunch of those, fantastic. If there's someone here you want to ask us questions about, we're here to help. Let us know how we can help you basically put the best foot forward in 2024. There's another version for you. That's four versions off the top of my head.
Love it. Beautifully said. We have a second example that we want to dig into.
Oh, we do.
Wait, I think this is one of the first five episodes we published. We talked about this before.
Thou shalt not bribe your target CISO or whatever. Yeah,
take me through the backstory of that one.
Okay, so let's face it. Leading up to Las Vegas and all the conference stuff out there, there were quite a number of invites. Come to dinner with us. Come and do
this.
What? One or two. Dozen a day from each vendor. Yeah, there are quite a lot of invites. I try to avoid most of them. Or if any of them like, hey, let's do dinner, I'm like, you do realize I've got some fairly interesting stuff already dinner planned, and doing it the week before DEF CON probably isn't the smartest move on your part, kind of thing. And so at the very most, I was like, hey, let's grab a cup of tea or a cup of coffee in like one of two different hotels. Take a step back. This is a continual ongoing thing that I see in our industry. In fact, I worked for a company once and they did this shit and I called them heavily on it. And I'm like, do that again. And I'm out of here. They did it again. And hey, presto, I think my longevity as one of their senior leaders was 4 months. So you can go work that out on my LinkedIn profile. In fact, that individual in that company tried hitting me up again. Apparently, they've changed their marketing team now. Surprise, surprise. So this one, this is, how do I bribe you? And I think I take a very different tact to this one. And I put a LinkedIn post out about it. And what I said was, I think it was pretty much so like, what is your company worth? Because we see it all the time. We see it, hey, let's do state dinners, let's do this. But the one that's the most obvious one to me is the market research companies. One's like, hey, I need 30 minutes of your time. I want to do market research. Well, apparently our own industry has for a long time done this, but it's getting more prolific. So Dear Antarctic Bunny Rabbit Company that's out there, y'all pin your ears back and pay attention.
Did you send me, by the way, I don't know if I saw the company.
Change Antarctic for Arctic.
Okay.
And then change Bunny Rabbit for a predator.
Okay. All right. All right. Big got dog. It.
Wild. Yep, you got it. You know who we're got talking it. About now?
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. All I can right. put a picture of the wolf up on the screen if you want me to. Oops, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
I feel like we got to talk to them. They've been coming on the show way too much.
Talk to them? Can we taser them first? Then? No, apparently they're not listening.
We can spork them.
We can, yes.
It's not as painful.
I get to spork the people. That is true, actually. All right, so apparently this company and a couple of others, but this one is much more prolific, shall we say, and I'm seeing it all over LinkedIn as well, which I think is actually starting to drive me a little nutters. This I took from LinkedIn. This wasn't even an inbound email. I think they've given up trying to email me, which is probably a smart move on their part. But this came from a LinkedIn post, and basically they're turning around and saying, hey, spend $100 with us, spend 15 minutes, and actually, sorry, take a call for 15 minutes with us, we'll asterisk on that 15 minutes, and you'll get a $100 gift card. Now, that $100 as an inbound reach is great. Now it means I don't have to spend any money trying to chase you. You're going to come to me. So rat caught in a trap. We'll start with the easy one. The other problem I have with this one is we spend so long inside our own industry trying to educate people the right things to do and the wrong things to do and not to get socially engineered and humanly engineered and everything else. And yet our own industry is breaking our own rules on this one. Because, I mean, if I was an attacker, let's face it, we used to basically go crawl around the Cisco forums and the Oracle forums and take everybody's configs. Now I don't have to do that. Now, basically, I spin up a company. I call it, you know, Fred Bloggs Incorporated. I offer a $100 or a $250 gift card for anybody that wants to help me understand how the industry is running. I get you on the phone. I spend 15 to, let's face it, 30 to 45 minutes social engineering every single one of your problems out of you. And I can do several different things. One, I can now use that as my set of attack vectors. Secondly, that information is invaluable. First and foremost, I know I've got a live person on the other end, so I can sell that to every man, woman, beast, child, and catalog vendor known to mankind. And certainly, I can target. I now know you have six things on your list for 23 and 24 that I can now go out to, I don't know, six different vendors on each one of those and go, hey, I've got a live list of somebody that needs endpoint because they were talking about it. Here, I'm going to sell you this, or I'm going to give you this, and you're going to give me 10 or 20% on the back end. I mean, that's a cheap $100 or $250 to me. I mean, holy shit, I can make that. I can multiply that back to the nth degree. That's a serious money-making thing. Meanwhile, you as the very Muppet that's sitting there, if you're lucky with your $100 or $250 gift card, have literally handed over the keys to the kingdom of your entire fucking company that you're meant to be protecting to somebody on the other end of the phone with no NDA, with no MNDA, with no protection in place, all because you thought you were special fucking snowflake. Don't do it.
By the way, I'm going to squirrel. You check your phone from our wonderful friend Cecil. You got it. This is hilarious. You know you're resonating when you get Cecil texting you in the middle of a show. Thank you, Cecil. We love you, man.
Fucking love
so him. Good. I had to scroll for that moment. Oh, that was amazing. Gosh,
I love him. Oh, next year, speaking of DEFCON. So next year, the general plan, emphasis on the word the general plan with Cecil and his team. Because every now and again, I get pictures of Cecil mountain biking. He puts them up on LinkedIn as well. By the way, if you're not following Cecil Panetta, fucking follow him for crying out
Seriously.
Loud.
Seriously. Go check out what they're doing at CISO XC2. Amazing CISO stuff.
October, whenever I come there. Anyway, so the plan is, because Cecil was following my LinkedIn post about me on the way out to DEF CON, for the first time, I actually stopped and I did a bunch of writing on the way out and on the way back. Cecil's like, we have to do this. So yeah. I think the plan maybe next year is we'll all try and figure out maybe meeting up at point A and doing a bunch of bike rides along the way. Take like the weekend to get out there. That would actually be fantastic. I mean, we'll all end up battered and bruised, but it'll be freaking hilarious. All right. So we squirreled. Cecil, love you.
Yes. But Rachel says something very valid. You know, if you have to rely on bribery to interest someone in talking to you, how valuable is that conversation really? Well, yeah.
That was my initial argument. So Rachel's perfectly spot on point. That was my initial argument with the company I worked at, which was like, really, we're paying people to listen to us. Something's wrong with the message. Something's wrong with how we are talking with people. Something isn't working. So Rachel's spot on that one. Absolutely. Because it's, again, back to the message. You know, Jen, if she'd have offered a $100 gift card, I'd probably be less pissed off than I was about trying to insult my company. But again, that message is incorrect. It's not resonating. And so maybe this is a cheap and cheerful way to do it. Because, I mean, you think about it. I mean, how much does a marketing team cost an organization the size of Antarctic Bunny Rabbits? If I could basically go out and buy $10,000 or $10,000 worth of $100 gift cards. So I think that's where it's like, is that a cheaper alternative? And you might only, you get out of 1,000, you get maybe 10 leads. So those 10 leads convert, you've made your money back. That's it. It's a numbers
game. The definition of lead is questionable.
It's a numbers game again.
Yeah, I got it.
That's the problem. I mean, okay, so let's take your marketing budget inside your agency. Let's just say your marketing budget's, let's just say 150,000, okay? So 10,000, 11,000, 12,000 a month. For 1 month, you go and basically buy $100 gift cards. So you've got yourself 1,000 gift cards. Is that right, Matt? Yeah, no, 1,000, 10, 100,000. You've got yourself 100 gift cards. So you get 100 people on the other end of the line, and maybe you get 10 decent ones and you convert two or three of them. So that 10,000, you've converted two or three at a 50 to 80% your software cost versus your actual revenue versus your actual profit on that one. I sell two or three deals out of that for 50,000 a deal. I make back couple of hundred thousand, I spend 10,000. That's a really good return on investment. And that I think is where the problem is. There's money in it. Then it's, and it's an easy do over.
There's money in it, but the rate conversion rates, I don't know. I don't know if it's even that promising.
You don't think it's that?
And, then on the way, you're also making people disgruntled. So what is the cost? You got to think about this. What is the cost of making people upset?
You and I both.
People are looking, what is the cost of getting it, but they don't look at the other side
of
it.
Okay, so let's do the math on this one. I'm going to devil's advocate myself on this one.
So by the way, side note, if I would buy a $100 gift card, it would be after I've already established a relationship and said, okay, here you go. This is a gift for me.
But here's the problem.
Because we've worked together.
If I accept it, now I've got to report on my taxes. And also, I can't accept it because inside Boom, anything over $25, as simple as I can put it, is a bribe.
Mm-hmm.
So if I, and this is why I'm ridiculously careful. For anybody that's listening, when I have conversations with people, there is a logical reason that I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm not going to go out and go car racing with you. Maybe we'll go out and have dinner, but we'll fucking split it. Or you pay one, I pay the next one. For two reasons. One, if I actually like you enough and I want to buy something from you, I will never be accused from a bribery standpoint. And secondly, anything over $25 goes on the freaking tax form. And if it doesn't and somebody reports it that way, then I get yelled at by all sorts of interesting people.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of those... I think it's one of those challenges because, so again, let's take a step back and look at the math. Fortune 500, great. Who cares about the Fortune 10,000, whatever. You look at the Fortune, say 50,000. So you look at how many small businesses there are in this country, small to medium-sized businesses, 50 to 100 people, there's millions of them.
Yeah.
So let's say every single week you send out 1,000 of these or 100 of these cards. Every single week you send 100 of these cards out. 400 a month, you know, you're not even denting the gene pool of companies available to you. You're not even making an impact. Now, you'll run into somebody like me who and you who have an audience. And so maybe we affect instead of us affecting you. Like I put the post up. The post didn't do very well, which is really actually somewhat frustrating, to be honest, because that artwork could be some work. But let's say I affect 5 or 10,000 people. So great, I've slowed you down for say a month, or I've slowed you down for a couple of months, or you go after some other targeted audience instead. So I think it's one of those, yeah, you could have used the car for 6 months. And I think that's one of those things I think I see a challenge. And Rachel's right. You'll tell 10 people about a crap experience, but only one or two about a good experience. But their pool of available companies to piss off is large. I think that's where I see the challenges is, you know, you could probably keep this going for a couple of years and not piss off the entire industry. Well, shit. I mean, fucking Antarctic bunny rabbits have been running this one for a while.
How does one incentivize you correctly? Let's be real. I mean, I want to know a good approach to it because, you know, if we want time, what's a good way to provide you value, but like that feels tangible and not in gift card mode?
Yeah. Well, I mean, gifts, drives, food, that stuff is,
we got some gifts last week and I like unfortunately a lot of the boxes were left on the table.
Okay. Yeah. So then let's take that one. Let's hit that. We got a minute or two. Let's hit this one. Okay. So dear anybody that's listening, that's sending out marketing gifts, do me a big favor. We have one planet, as far as we're aware, in this realm that we are currently occupying, ignoring quantum physics and other kinds of molecular-based systems. We have one fucking planet. When your gift is, say, the size of my coffee cup, you send me a coffee cup, but the packaging around it, and then the external packaging, and then the wrapping around the package makes it this fucking big, that's a waste. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, the gift itself was thoughtful.
Yeah.
But it was not right. The box itself was, I mean, it was huge. It was like, it was about this big and about this thick. And it contained a pen. It contained a book to write the pen in. Contained one of those. And that was it. But the box was huge. And there was waste. It was waste packaging. It was waste cardboard. It was just, I mean, anybody who's going to take that and take it on a fucking airplane? So I think that's a problem. Do me a big favor. I mean, so Boom has, we have a sustainability report that we put out. And so we look very, very carefully. Again, who are we working with? Who's our vendor we're going to do something with? And also, yeah, who do I want to do business with? If you're going to start bringing me a bunch of crap that's going to end up in the bin or is going to end up on somebody's shelf gathering dust, don't do it. Save your freaking marketing dollars for something more bloody useful. Again, to Danny's point, you know, if perfect example, like I'll do the first round of checks and balances and then I'll hand something to my team and go, hey, do me a favor, take a look at this, give me some thoughts about this. Go take them for a cup of coffee. You know, when we have, you know, so we had one of the browser companies come in and talk with us. We're actually looking at two different browser companies. Island, perfect example. So we had Island, and we're talking to Island, and we're talking to Surf. So Island came in, and they brought, I think it was Panera lunch for the team, which was fantastic. We sat down, and we spent, 2 hours talking. And it was very good, very productive, very useful. Went through a whole bunch of scenarios with them. But that was a working lunch. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem if you turn up with a whole bunch of other crap as well. That's when I have a problem with it. So, yeah. Okay, so back to the question. How do you get to me? Carefully. Why don't we just start with the easy word, carefully. And we'll take, I don't know, which one do we want to take? Well, let's take Matt. Let's take Matt. Matt is with a cloud intrusion investigation and response company, okay? So Matt didn't do his research. So how do you know me? First and foremost, you do your research. Again, back to this, you're asking me for 15 minutes. So when can you allocate a little more time to find out more? How about you take 15 minutes or 5 minutes or even 10 minutes to learn a little bit about me first?
Right.
Hell, take 5 minutes to learn about me, read my LinkedIn profile, and then take 5 minutes to write an email to me that says, hey, read your profile, totally cool on certain things, love the image, love the picture, love some of the posts. I'm running a cloud infrastructure organization. Chances are, Boone's probably doing a shed ton of stuff on the cloud because you ain't all building an airplane on terrestrial stuff. You've probably got a good strategy involved. You're probably kicking ass on some of these areas. We're watching the industry, would love to collaborate and see if there's anything we can do.
I'm going to push back because not all practitioners are as vocal as you on LinkedIn.
No, so you're right.
If they can't read the LinkedIn profile.
Yeah. Then start making some positive assumptions. So I think this is the big one. You make a lot of people on the sales and marketing side make negative assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking at this. You haven't seen this. You're going to end up on the front page of the news. You're going to all doom and gloom and doom and gloom. And we can save you.
Yeah.
So let's take a step back and say, hey, let's make a bit of fun out of this one. So you don't know me you don't know me from Adam. I've been sitting up, say, Boom for a year and a half. I don't have a social media profile. You want to outreach and go like, hey, first, and a couple of people have done this right. Hey, first and foremost, I'm an aviation geek. If you are, if you're not, don't fucking lie. First and foremost, I'm an aviation geek. Love the fact of what you're doing. Love to see the fact we got a 2023 Concorde on the way. So looking forward to cutting down some travel time. Would love to understand some of the challenges around these areas. I'm going to assume you've been there for a year and a half. You're working your way through maturity. You're working your way through risk. You're working your way through probability. This is what we're able to bring to the table. Would love to grab 5 or 10 minutes of your time over a cup of tea just to understand, or a cup of coffee, because most people drink coffee in this country. Would love to understand what you're up to and if there's any way we can help, any chance of catching up in the next few weeks.
There you go. Take that and write it out, folks, and then add your flair, positive assumption. By the way, what tea do you drink?
Yorkshire Gold.
There you go.
Yeah, folks. Yorkshire Gold. You're welcome. I mean, it's I'll drink other stuff typically, but Yorkshire Gold, it's a good. And now I will give a huge shout out. There is an amazing tea company in this country called Harney and Sons. Very, very civilized. I think they're based on the East Coast. Very, very civilized tea. Their vintage silver tips is just to die for. It's also some godly amount per freaking ounce, but it's so worth it. But Honey and Sons is actually fantastic. But truthfully, like every single day, it is a tea of Yorkshire Gold, a cup of Yorkshire Gold. Actually, it's a couple two of Yorkshire Gold. Milk, I used to do 2 sugars, and now I do 1/2 of 1 sugar. Or I do swap it out sometimes. I'll use like a grape sweetener or something. All right. What if on email? What's Jason asking? What about email?
I think so he's been trying to figure out how to do some research on prospects who have no LinkedIn activity very much, right? So mentioned that. I'm trying to figure it out. Jason, you want to give a little bit of color as to what you mean?
Oh my gosh, Matt Edwards is so fucking spot on. Matt, I love you. You are so... Here's the problem, though, that I run into. So Matt's perfect. I used to dunk shortbread biscuits. So Tesco's and Sainsbury's make the best shortbread biscuits. I used to dunk those in my tea. I would also dunk McVitie's dark chocolate digestives, Hobnobs. Now, unfortunately, my sorry ass and the stuff with the glucose and the diabetes means that I have to be very, very careful. Girl Scout cookie Thin Mints are some of the best.
Oh,
nowadays,
yummy.
I can have...
I forgot I'm in America, so I can get Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, we can dunk biscuits. This country gets very, very confused. I actually have a Girl Scout peanut butter. I'm going to have my half. I actually had half. I'm going to have my half, and then I save the other half for Milo.
Okay, pause, folks. You see what happened, everybody? Matt said something very, very crucial here. And did you see how Chris squirreled and got all excited?
Yeah,
this is how you do it, everybody.
Yeah.
Great job, Matt. I'm going to send you a $100 Amazon gift card.
From Antarctic bunny rabbits. Yeah, it's okay. So I mean, yeah. So Jason, there we go. The person's on LinkedIn, anonymous stuff. So I think okay. To answer Jason, I'm actually going to eat the other half of this one. The Milo can have his
Bless
own
you.
biscuit.
You bon appetit. Do that.
Yeah, you wait and you'll see what the fucking what the chart does in like 2 hours
Oh,
time.
no.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We talked about this. Maybe we do another sit. We do another episode on this. Let's actually do the first year. All right. Here's my promise. Danny, you and I have to work this out, but maybe I'll come to the table next week. Here's my promise. Next week, we will do a year in the life of a CISO. I will actually write
Woo.
something out. I'll actually here. I'll do it on here. Let me actually put it on because I'll do a LinkedIn post on it. I'll do a year in the life in the CISO. Because here's the thing, it's cyclical to some degree. It's cyclical and repetitive. So let's start with now. Now I'm starting to look at what's going on in 2024, which means I'm planning, which means I'm actually talking with vendors as opposed to looking at what's going on. I'm now starting to plan where, what, when, why, how. And we've got some stuff on going. I'm also sitting there with finance teams. I'm sitting in with the organization. Now you come into Q1. Q1 is like, holiday season is over. Now let's start ramping up the projects. And that means collaboration with the teams. That means working with the vendors, working with systems. You start working through the year, there's some cyclical things. Now, if I've only been there a year, the chances are my first year is going through a NIST cybersecurity framework or some kind of other, where's my risks, where's my probabilities? We went through that chart a couple of weeks ago. I can bring some of that up again. If I'm in year two, now what I'm starting to do, year two and year three, I'm starting to mature that program a little bit. So that means I've already rolled out awareness training. So now my awareness training needs to motivate because, like anything, it trends down. How do I train it back up again? I'm also starting to look at much more strategic things. So my first year is where are my assets? My second year is what the hell am I going to do with them? And my third year is like, how do I more efficiently manage and do the other things? So there's really some stuff on there that even if you don't know who I am or how or you know what I've been doing, you typically know how long I've been in an organization. You typically make an assumption as to what part of the year I'm in means what part of the cycle I'm in. And you know what? If you don't ask, hey Chris, would love to have a conversation with you, but before I leap in with both feet stuck in my mouth and make an assumption that you're talking to vendors now for 2024, could we spend 5 minutes with me understanding if you're a year-to-year cycle, if you're a six-month cycle, or you're a three-month cycle? Because we would love to have a conversation about cloud. You've been in the organization a couple of years. You've probably understood where this is and where this is. We have a pulse on where the future is. Would love to talk with you about what we're seeing and how and if it might make sense to have that. So just tweaking it a little bit that way. But also
Yeah.
make fun of it. You know, if you can't find me on LinkedIn or you can't find me on any social media channels, make fun of it. Just like the opening intro is like, hey, Chris, we'd love to meet you, but you have done such an amazing job of keeping a low profile. We don't know how to find you, where to find you, what to do with you. We would love to grab a cup of tea with you, but you've elusified of us to this day. How may we get in touch to have a conversation and just open it up? You know, just stuff like that. Have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like we need to go back and actually create. We talked about this. We, by the way, we had an episode on doing OSINT, like doing the research. We went through the steps, but I feel like we should create something for everybody. And I talked about this, what, 3 months ago. I'm thinking we gotta
Yeah.
get something down that people could use as some kind of like step-by-step guide, something to think about, because we don't have enough to do every day anyway. So yeah. But next week, year in the life of a CISO, I love it. Let's go through it. I like how practical we're getting. We had a few episodes where we brought things up on screen, so maybe we can do that next week as well.
Yeah, I like that. We can, I think next week, yeah, we'll do that. I think the other thing is, so I mean, I've got two in there, a year in the life of a CISO and how to research your CISO target.
Yep.
So I think it's, and there we go. Yeah, it's a, yeah, it's, I think it's, I think there's ways of doing it. I'll do the CISO research because you're right. I mean, a lot of us are not as vocal, shall we say, but we're out there somewhere. And if we're not, have some fun with it. And
Yeah.
literally go, hey, I would love to have a conversation with you, but I'm having a devil of a job finding you. So either
Be
congratulations.
human. Be human at the end of the day.
Yeah, congratulations. I will not try to send you $100 gift card to an address that I can't find on the internet. Therefore, could we just grab 10 minutes of a cup of tea, please?
Seriously. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
it.
I mean, I
All right,
think,
we
yeah,
have
you, yep.
We have 5 minutes left. I do want to leave time for imparting thoughts. So what do you want to sign off with?
Let's sign off with assumptions. I think this is a good one. And it's assumptions on both parts. Assumptions are very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But they can be used in a positive way if they're thought of positively.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll go back to this one. You know, Audrey hit me up about a SaaS management research platform. Audrey assumed that I didn't know anything about a SaaS management platform.
Did you know about them, by the way?
I did a little bit know about a management because we run some SaaS stuff here. And so assumptions can be very, very dangerous, but they can also be used to an advantage. Again, it's all human engineering. So if you assume that I don't know something, or you assume that I haven't seen something, or you assume that I'm not aware of something, that can be a little bit dangerous. And now you're on the back foot because now you're having to backpedal. But if you go in and make an assumption that maybe I've got a half a clue or a quarter of a clue, or I've heard about it, and that you would like to bring more clarity to a situation, or you would like to help me a little bit, or you would like to arm me with some tools or something along those lines, then I think that to me is a much more positive way to go forward. I think this is when I see so many sales and marketing messages that make an assumption that really the CISO is sitting here with his thumb up his ass and is completely clueless. It's concerning. Whereas if you make an assumption that, hey, I am running around like headless chicken, I am looking at 25 different things, but I also need to learn. I still need to understand, and we still need vendors. I still need to have conversations with people because I am at that time of the year where we're starting to really make some key decisions for next year. So assumptions can be very, very positive, but they can also be very, very dangerous. And it is a bit of a knife edge. So as you write out those emails, do me a favor, do it in my voice.
There you go. I'd like to sign off with, assumptions is great. And my assumption is that this show is working because people are showing up increasingly.
I hope so.
But I would like your feedback, folks. Please do let us know if this is resonating. Let us know what could be done better. Let us know if there's a format that would work better for you. Drop them in the comments. Please let us know also if there are particular topics with regards to sales outreach, marketing outreach, and messaging that you would like us to cover from the lens of the CISO, Mr. Roberts. We will address that. I mean, this is for you at the end of the day. We're taking our time every week out of our schedule to provide you with as much value as possible. We want to continue on that route. So provide us with that brutally honest feedback. We can take it.
I dish it out, which means I should be able to take it. Absolutely. Seriously. So yeah, to echo Danny's point, I mean, we love doing this. We're having fun. The feedback is great. But I want to improve the continual improvement thing. So yeah, absolutely. Love it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining today. Next week, we'll see you same time. What the Fuck Wednesday. Thanks to Tracy for that, by the way. This has been a great episode. Thank you, Chris, for your time. We will chat, and thanks, everybody. We are out.